The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Little STP here on 710 KNUS on Hump Day. George Brockler with you for hour two of four. Joining us on the phone right now, regular guests, superstars. I'm going to press buttons, Billy, and when one of them gets cut off, I'm going to blame the listeners. Joining us right now are Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, one the chair, the other the vice chair of the GOP party here in the state of Colorado. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, George.
Great. Thanks, George.
Now, I don't know if you heard the very kind description I gave, Priscilla, of why you weren't in studio, because normally you're in studio, and that mm-hmm. was because, absent the school year, you are probably somewhere in a robe with a lit cigarette and a cup of coffee with rum in it, wondering how it is you've only been home for an hour. Is that anywhere near accurate?
Pretty close, but this morning I was making candles.
Oh, what? Wait a minute. Out of human fat? I mean, are we going Fight Club here? Is this
soy-based candles? That's my new thing now.
Gluten-free candles? Is there a need for that? Do people rub up against candles like peanuts now? I have a candle allergy. Okay, well, there's nothing creepy about that. No, I'm kidding. I want to see pictures at some point. I have not had the opportunity, nor has Billy, to really speak with either of you since the primaries. I was out of town when they happened. I had to watch them from afar, and I wanted to get your feedback. Christy, when you look at the outcome of Tuesday, what are your big takeaways?
Yeah, George, I think Tuesday was quite the day. I made it around to six different watch parties. I know Priscilla went to quite a few as well. And I think number one, the Democrats suffered a huge loss on Tuesday. They had dumped over roughly $10 million into our primaries here in Colorado, trying to choose which candidate they wanted to run against in the Senate race, in the governor's race, and in the 8th congressional district. They failed in every single race. None of the candidates they were pushing were the ones who came out of the primary. What's interesting, George, is that in Illinois, they actually tried the same thing in the governor's race, and it worked.
Yeah, it worked almost everywhere else except Colorado.
And I think it's because this is something Barb Kirkmeyer's campaign said in the eighth CD, Coloradans make our own choices. You do not get to buy us and tell us what we're going to do. And so I think it was really great to see, Joe O'Day stick it to Chuck Schumer, to see Barb Kirkmeyer and Heidi can all come out of those races. And of course, as a state party, we would support any candidate who came out of the primaries. That's what we're going to do. But I just think seeing that happen to the Democrats, it's a great day in Colorado. Our voters are independent and thinking for themselves. And I do think the slate we ended up with up and down the state, George, is incredibly strong. Entrepreneurs, military veterans, parents, who can focus on the issues and our commitment to Colorado and really deliver solutions.
Priscilla, what do you think?
I agree. It was a great day for Republicans and Coloradans across the board because the Democrats haven't done anything to even warrant reelection this November. We can point to failed policy after failed policy in our state. Number one in auto thefts, number two in fentanyl drug overdose deaths. I mean, he's trying to buy our votes with returning our own Tabor refunds early this month. And I'm encouraging people to take the Jared Polis bribe check and donate it to a Republican candidate. Because like Christy said, we can't be bought. We're going to make up our own minds. We can see our bank accounts just dwindling, and it's not right. And Republicans are ready to change that and make life better for all Coloradans.
You know, the other thing about that Tabor check that folks may have missed is they did a one-year adjustment where it was redistribution of those funds in this way. There's normally a six-tier refund process where how much you contribute to taxes dictates how much you get back. So if you pay a lot more in taxes, right, you get a lot more back. Not so now. They've gone all socialist and said no matter what, you all get back the same amount. And they're super excited to say it's $750. Well, for some families that have two parents working that are killing it out there and giving a bunch of their money to the state and federal government in the form of taxes, they would have gotten a bigger refund check, but for the intervention of Jared and the gang out there under the Gold Dome to try to send those checks out with the general election ballots. Christy, when you look at this, what is your explanation for the difference in the assembly outcome versus the actual primary vote? And I say that as someone who attended the assembly. I've gone every time I've been on the ballot, I've gone through the assembly. But I saw a bunch of people who won the assembly who did not fare well on the ballot. In fact, the only person I can think of for a big race that escaped the assembly in a contested spot, I'm not talking Sias and Kellner, I'm talking contested, is probably Eric Odlin, who won the CD7 assembly and went on to win the primary. Other than that, I'm hard-pressed to find someone who came out of the state assembly on top who won. What's the reason for that?
Yeah, you're right, George. I think there's a few legislative candidates who did something similar to Eric Odlin who won their assemblies and went on to win their primaries. But for the most part, at the higher level of races, not a single person won the assembly and then went on to win the primary. I think, and that's not what typically happens. Historically, the absolute opposite happened here in Colorado. I think what we saw, though, was the assembly this year was just flat out different than so many assemblies I've been to in the past, you've been to in the past. And when we look at the numbers, you know, right under 4,000 people, 3,700 and some, voted at the assembly. But you have hundreds of thousands of people voting the Republican ballot in the state primary. And so it's really a different pool of people. If those 3,700 people aren't in step with the majority of the hundreds of thousands who are voting, you get a different result. And so I think the weeks between the assembly and the election, people were able to listen to the candidates. They were able to see the ways the Democrats are trying to intervene in our races, and they ended up rejecting that. And so there's just so much more campaigning and education on the candidates, I think, that happened between those two dates. And, George, I think the last thing I'll say is historically you see candidates go through assembly who are very well known. Like one of them is well known, one of them isn't. So there's not a lot of things voters can learn about them. But in this case, we've had a lot of candidates who really neither one were well known by the voting population. And so the weeks between assembly and primary gave people the chance to learn, and they largely made a different decision.
Is it, Priscilla, is it? I guess there's an opportunity to learn more, I suppose that. And I think the low name ID thing is real. I think that's true, Christy. In fact, I think that's why you saw the Dems play so heavily in the primaries, was because they realized these people hadn't been able to define themselves. But Priscilla, right, when you look at this same outcome, is there an argument to be made, at least moving forward for some candidates, that the assembly process is not only unnecessary, but largely irrelevant? And I'm asking two people who are invested in the system from the top, and I'm not, that's not a pejorative or a negative. I'm just saying, from where you sit and you look at this, is that an argument to be made that, hey, maybe the assembly process isn't that relevant?
I mean, I haven't heard anyone talk directly about that, that question about whether assembly is relevant or caucus or any of that. I think depending on who you talk to, you'll get a different answer. But at the end of the day, in politics, it is about name ID, and it is about fundraising, and it is about persuading people who maybe don't know much about you and what you stand for. And this is, you know, it's great for people who have run and or who are thinking about running, that every stage of your campaign, whether you start at caucus, go to assembly, whether you petition on or whatever your route is, you have to observe and you have to pay attention and you have to play Monday morning quarterback and think about strategically, how do you get through all these different stages? So, I mean, some people like the assembly process. Some people want to get rid of it. I think that's something that's always an open discussion. I don't have an opinion either way, but this is the process that we have. And I feel like for it works for the people that want to be involved. And so it's, again, it goes back to the candidate working really hard to get their message out.
I have a column that is going to publish, I think, in the Denver Gazette this week that really asks that question. And I took a look at a whole bunch of races, not just the state. And I know that those are the only ones that you guys are running, or is the state one. But if you look at the congressional ones, you had Ken Buck with just over 30% in his assembly. Doug Lamborn skips his assembly for the second, third, or fourth time altogether. The sheriff candidates in the only GOP-contested sheriff races out of the big ones, and that is El Paso County and Douglas, the two guys that end up becoming the primary winners also didn't go through their county assemblies. And Priscilla, I know I saw both of you at the Douglas County Assembly. That had some aspects to it, you know, with some of the voting stuff where it felt circus-like at a time, where it was like we may end up having to re-vote this thing, the credentialing thing, and it got a little crazy, and it started to make me wonder – in this modern era, even if we keep the assembly, and I like the assembly, I would be as likely as anyone else to go through the assembly if I ever ran again. But this idea that, look, there's a way to access the ballot that probably is more money intensive than time intensive, but it's a guaranteed place on the ballot, and winning the assembly just isn't the guarantor of the kind of momentum or name ID that you need to win. As the chair of the party, Christy, is there something you can or should do to, get the party to reinvest or refocus on the assembly, or are you an agnostic like Priscilla is on this?
I mean, so George, I think my opinion is that we are bound by the law to do the assembly right now. And so I think when you're talking to party chairmen, party officers, we're going to tell you, like, we're obligated to make the process as good as it can be because the law tells us to run an assembly. And so until Colorado law is actually changed, there are two ways to get on the ballot, as you know, and it's assembly or petition. I do think what the party can do is make sure all of our people across the state, our activists, our candidates, really understand that getting on through petition is just as valid as going on through assembly. And I think that is a shift that I am seeing is happened before the assembly this year. But a lot of people across the state, a lot of our candidates, a lot of our activists are saying, you know what? Petitioning on, getting signatures, especially when the candidate's out doing it themselves and it's not solely a paid effort, it is a grassroots process as well because you're having those conversations with voters, you're talking to them, and as you said, it is a guaranteed way on the ballot, and you can really compete to a larger audience as to whether or not you're the best candidate. So I think legitimizing both ways at this point until the law changes and just not making candidates, you know, be under the assumption that they're a worse candidate and they're not being grassroots just because they're going through petition is not at all accurate. And I think we need to make sure people know that.
You know, that's exactly what we hear from the folks that go through the assemblies I have and other grassroots folks is they're not being true to the party or the grassroots and all that because they've done an end run around it. But it seems like the outcome of the primary suggests that may not be a very persuasive argument. Something else, do we know yet, Priscilla, if you know, or Christy, do we know yet what percentage of unaffiliated voters who played in the primary played in the Republican and what impact that may have had in terms of percentage of votes cast for a candidate? Like, you know, for Joe O'Day, can you tell what percentage? I guess we'll never know because we don't know who the unaffiliated voters are. I guess, do we know what percentage of total votes cast for Republicans were unaffiliated versus those who were Republicans?
Yeah, George, so I don't know if you do absolute exact numbers right now. There's still a few numbers that have to be crunched, but roughly speaking, 10% more unaffiliated voters vote in the Republican primary than in the Democrat primary, which is the complete reverse of 2018 when we saw the opposite numbers. And, of course, in 2018, we saw the Democrats go on to sweep statewide across the state. I think we will go on to have really good victories this year, in large part because unaffiliated voters, which are 43% of our voting population, are engaged in our races and like our candidates. I believe the unaffiliated vote is about 30% of the Republican ballots cast in this primary.
Oh, that's interesting. The other thing is there are studies out there. I couldn't put my finger on one with a simple Google search, but I've seen them. There are studies out there that say if you get a voter to commit to a candidate in a primary, it is more than likely the vast majority of them end up voting for that same person in the general. And that's where that gambit by the Dems in trying to push people to play in the Republican primary is going to hurt Bennett and Polis and the others down the ballot because you've now taken unaffiliated primary voters who might have sat at home, done nothing, or played in the Democrats, even though they had virtually no primaries, and you've got them to commit to a Joe O'Day or a Heidi Ganahl or a Pam Anderson or something. Chances of them going and switching back to Griswold, Polis, and Bennett, not very good.
Well, correct. And I think, George, specifically what we saw, and so what the Democrats hugely misfired, is you know, they did push unaffiliated voters to our candidates, because when our candidates, and I don't want to speak for any of their campaigns, but I'm saying roughly speaking, I know a lot of campaigns did this, when they saw the Democrats put millions of dollars to lie about them, which is largely what was happening in our primaries, and it was specifically being sent to Republican voters. Very little of what the Democrats did was sent to unaffiliated voters, largely sent to Republicans. And so our candidates saw unaffiliated will vote in the primary. They can vote in the primary under Colorado law. And so a lot of our candidates started reaching out to unaffiliated voters and pitching their message and arguing why they were the best person. Those unaffiliated voters came out and turned out. And I do think it was for those candidates that reached out to them. That's a huge misfire on the Democrats' part, encouraging our people to actively campaign this early on to unaffiliated voters and win them. It's going to be important for us. And I don't think that was Democrats' intention, but I mean, hey, thanks for lighting $10 million on fire. We'll take it any time.
Priscilla, how much do you think that unaffiliated, and it sounds like it's 30% of what was cast on the Republican side of things, moderated the outcome? And so if I'm a grassroots assembly going person, I'm saying, of course, the assembly goers didn't win because we don't let just Republicans vote in our primaries. We now have unaffiliateds who tend to be less than super conservative. I have my own thoughts on that, by the way, but tend to be less than super conservative. That's how we ended up with this outcome. What do you one, is that valid? And two, does it matter?
Yeah, like to what Christy articulated earlier, this is the law. This is the process that we're legally bond to. They did play. Unaffiliateds did play in this election. But what we're seeing is an awakening of voters. They're paying attention. The issues that are happening not only in our state but nationally are hitting home where it matters and where people are seeing and suffering and being victims of bad policies. And so it's forcing them to actually, maybe some of them for the first time, to really take a serious look at Republican candidates, go to their website, listen to some of their interviews, ask them questions, and they're finding that our candidates are actually reasonable, that our candidates are bringing common sense solutions to inflation, affordability, safety, education, agriculture, oil and gas, energy. All of these issues are impacting every single Coloradan, and our candidates are actually bringing solutions. So it's one of those things where it's actually working in our favor that, you know, they're people are paying attention. They're looking for solutions. And I believe that we're the party that's going to deliver on those solutions.
Can you two stick around for, I don't want to take you for a full segment. I know how busy you are, but can you stick around for a little bit? I want to ask you a couple questions when we come back. Do you have the ability to stick around for a few more minutes?
I do. Yeah.
You too, Priscilla? Candle time,
yes.
Take
uh-huh.
a time out from the candles, yes, while they're drying or whatever. Okay, great. Hey, we're talking with KBB, Christy Burton Brown, chair of the GOP for the state of Colorado, and vice chair Priscilla Ron. You're listening to George Brockler on 710 KNUS. George Brockler back on 710 KNUS, joining us once again are Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, the chair and the vice chair of the Colorado Republican Party. Thank you for sticking on with us through that break. Christy, why do we win? And by we, I mean the good guys. Why do the Republicans win in November?
So a couple of reasons, George. I think we win. One, referring back to something we were talking about in the last segment, there's people right now in our base who think the conservatives didn't win the primary. I think that is so wrong. Look at Heidi Ginnall, look at Barb Kirkmeyer, conservative fighters for Colorado. Granted, Joe Dave more moderate than Ron Hanks was, but compare him to Michael Bennett. And that is how we win, George. It's comparing our candidates to Michael Bennett, Jared Polis, Jenna Griswold, do-nothing, boring, and dangerous career politicians. Contrast that with our people who are entrepreneurs, military veterans, who are parents and have kids in the school system right now and want to work with the people of Colorado to make our state affordable, prioritize public safety, and expand educational options. We have problem creators and problem solvers. And so that's how we're going to win, is by actually showing the people of Colorado we're the party of working families, the party of parents, the party who can make our state safe again.
Priscilla, we're going to have Heidi Ganahl on here at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. She wanted to respond to some comments made by Ted Trempa, who was on yesterday with his husband Arash. It was like Ted and Arash's excellent interview or something. But he had said that he does think that the Joe O'Day race with Bennett is competitive, and he thought that was in play. He has really said nothing more about the other statewide races, talked about the House going to the Republicans, but the Senate maybe not. This is at the federal level. But he said he thought that the gubernatorial race, even though Heidi would be more competitive than Greg Lopez would be, he did not think that it was really in jeopardy for Jared. What are your thoughts on that?
I think every candidate that's a sitting Democrat is in jeopardy. Jared Polis doesn't own the governorship in Colorado. The people of Colorado do, and the people of Colorado are pretty sick and tired of the garbage we're being fed for the last 4 years. Not just the past four years, for the past several decades, because the Democrats have had a supermajority, and it's been one failed policy after another. I mean, oil-based paint is illegal thanks to Jared Polis. Builders can't even get oil-based paint. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing. So a lot of people are not aware, because the legislature passes over 500 bills a year, which is insane, the bureaucracy. But once people start to take a look at the failed policies and they start thinking, why is it like in our state? Why do we have the most extreme abortion law in the country comparable to China and North Korea? Why do we think that's okay? And that's just, you know, a few of the issues. But if the Democrats think that they're safe, I think that's a really foolish way to look at politics, because we've seen this in many, many races where the people speak. And it's our job as Republicans to make sure that that message gets out, that we can do better. We must do better. We need all hands on deck. We need every Republican voter to vote Republican all the way down the ticket, maybe from the bottom up. And we're going to work really, really hard to make sure we help every Coloradan.
Christy, and I agree with all that stuff, but when you look at that race in particular, and I get Bennett sitting on a pile of cash, but my guess is Joe O'Day is a self-funder, and also there's going to be a bunch of NRSC money that comes pouring in to the extent that they continue to find Colorado competitive, and I think they will. But on the governor's side, it's just so different, right? Because we have these ridiculous state limits that were imposed largely by a measure that was funded by the guy who's in the governor's office right now, who has like $900 million and can spend anything. Does the message that Priscilla talked about, as accurate as it is, does that break through enough to, I guess, drown out the millions that will be dumped to get stuff out on the airwaves and in mailboxes and everywhere? Because this is a guy who really isn't running for governor. This is a prelude to running for president of the United States. How can we possibly win in that environment?
Yeah, of course it is. That's his goal. He wants to be the first gay president of the United States. And I think, George, the answer is we'll know on November 8th. We will know on November 8th if all this actually cut through and if it made a difference. We have to run a race that can be Jared Polis if everything, you know, fits together perfectly, if it's an amazing year for Republicans. Let's not kid ourselves, it's going to be the toughest race in the state. But I think what Coloradans are beginning to get upset at is politicians who think they can buy their seats every single time. And I do think it's very interesting to note what happened in the primaries when the Democrats tried to buy people's votes and use $10 million to get them to vote a certain way. They didn't just lose by a few votes, George. They lost by large percentages.
Huge.
And so I do think Colorado voters are unique in that way. And if Heidi can effectively paint Jared Polis as an out-of-touch elitist who sits in his Boulder mansion and drives a Suburban while he tells us to buy electric cars and raises prices on us, 85 new taxes in the last 3 years, I think she has a fighting chance, and I think she's going to fight to the end.
He also prioritizes his family over ours, which I find particularly detestable in a guy who has the means to do just about anything. Interesting. Let me just shift gears real quick to this topic and just get your reaction to it. We've had this huge mass shooting that took place on July the 4th out there in Highland Park, Illinois. The conversation that always starts as a result of this is there something that woulda, coulda, shoulda been done? Is there a role for government to play here? What's your reaction to all this, Priscilla?
absolutely something should have been done. You know, I see these behaviors as a public school teacher. And I think that we don't have enough mental health support. I don't think we have enough law enforcement. I think that people have to, they're prioritizing other things, and there have been attacks on law enforcement, but absolutely something should have been done way before this happened. It's a tragedy. We see this way too often, that people have given signs to law enforcement, to their family, and they're ignored, or they're not getting the help that they need. And so I believe that it's really important that municipalities put together plans, and school districts put together plans to identify these very, very dangerous behaviors early on, so that, you know, we can prevent these types of tragedies happening again in the future.
Well, this one was interesting, too, because we know from the timeline that guy had made some suicidal comments in April of 2019. He had his family called the police on him again in September, and they took away like 16 knives, a dagger, and a sword because he had said he wanted to kill everybody. And then 3 months later, his dad endorsed a license that you need to possess a firearm and ammunition in the state of Illinois. What? I mean, I realize that's 2 years before this happened, maybe a year and a half. What in the world was missed by the people closest to him that might have prevented this? I'm not sure that we're going to know the answer in the short term, but these things just seem to keep happening, and the questions are going to keep popping up. And if you're the White House and you look at your numbers, which are the worst in measured history on polling, you look at right track, wrong track. First off, I don't know if you've seen the latest thing, Priscilla. There are still 10% of the people polled who think America's on the right track. Who are those people? Have you met any of them?
Well, a couple of trolls on my social media. Yeah.
They believe. I want the next interview that has to happen is, please tell me what's going well. Please tell me the thing you point to and go, yes, this is exactly what I voted for when I voted for Biden.
Well, no, you're making a great argument. They're not really talking about what's going well. They're just attacking conservatives. And that's all they have to offer, because when you push back, they can't have the conversation. When I provide data and evidence of the things that are not going well, they either start name calling or they end the conversation. And so I find it hard pressed to believe that anybody thinks that things are going well, unless they're an elitist and a millionaire and they're really out of touch with what's going on. And we've seen this even on, there was an interview where someone said it's the agenda. We have to stick with the agenda, even though people are going broke, putting gas in their car. This is the new world order agenda. We have to just suffer through it. Pardon me, no, we don't. We need to stop and course correct. And that's going to happen starting in this November election.
I think it's going to be tough for the governor to run on the, here are the good things I've done. It sounds like the message that they have right now is one of minimizing the negative impact they've had. Like what I've heard is the mainstream media rushing to his defense to say, you know, he didn't do that badly with COVID. Like it's not, he was awesome on COVID. In making that executive order, declaring an emergency, he gave CDPHE the authority to do virtually anything they wanted to do. And he arms a toddler with a handgun. And when that handgun goes off and inhibits people's freedoms by masking up the state at the punitive sanction of a potential misdemeanor in jail, he then goes, well, that wasn't, I didn't do that. It was the toddler that did that. It was CDPHE that did that. There isn't really too much positive that he can run on. He's not going to be able to say, are you better off today than you were when I got sworn in? Do you have more freedoms today than you have when I got sworn in? He's not going to be able to run on any of that stuff. So instead, he hijacks the Tabor refunds as if to say, you see, I know I wanted to take these away with Proposition CC, but I know you won't remember that. So I'm going to repackage them and call them Jared Polis Loves You. And we're going to send you a check with your ballots. Is that going to work?
No, Pontius Polis. Oh, we're not buying it.
I don't think so either. No, listen, I don't think so either. Listen, we had to say goodbye to Christy Burton Brown sort of unceremoniously because she had to pop off to do another interview, I think, on another show. But we were great to have her on. It was great. And Priscilla, thank you for joining us on this. I'll let you get back to candle making. I don't know what scents you have. Are they politically themed scents?
I'm going to cleanse Colorado with my orange scent today.
It's just, does it smell like an orange, or is it like Orange Crush orange?
It's like blood orange. It's really amazing.
Uh-huh. And yeah, can you tell us, what do you make it out of?
Soy wax.
Is this something that's new? Is this like a new thing for you? Or do you have do you have a website Priscilla's Candles or something?
I have a website on Etsy. I have Etsy, Rodell Organics. I actually make soaps and lotions and bath bombs. And now this is my new thing, is candles. And soy wax candles are not a new thing. They burn cleaner, so they're better to breathe, so they're not as toxic.
I have to jump in here for a second. Priscilla was kind enough to gift me some of the soaps that she makes. And
obviously a message to you about hygiene. But
I was trying not to take it personally, but so I've tried to you know, at least wash and shave before she comes in most of the time. So again, my apologies, but I've got to tell you, the females in my house, all three of them, absolutely go gaga over her soaps. They absolutely love them. I'm happy with them, but again, I'll wash my body with a Brillo pad, so I'm not necessarily the best person to judge that. But the females that care about these things in my house go gaga over Priscilla's stuff. So just a personal endorsement, and she didn't pay me to say that.
That is wonderful / creepy. Priscilla's never offered me soap. I think it's probably because she knows I'm a once a week showerer anyway. It'll probably last forever. Priscilla Ron, vice chair of the GOP. We'll have you back on as we continue to move towards November to talk about the developments. I imagine it's going to be a little bit of sleepy time for the next couple months, but then sometime around September, every single commercial on every single medium, social media, radio, TV, will be dominated by politics.
Yeah. Hey, George, thanks so much for all you do and for having us on to talk about these important issues. And we're working really hard, and we want to earn the trust and the vote of every Coloradan.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you, Priscilla Ron, for joining us. Listen, I want to tell you about a good friend of ours to the show. His name is Mitch Floria, and he has this business called The Art of Granite. And The Art of Granite exists really to do a couple of things. One is to provide you with the greatest opportunity to upgrade your house in the easiest way possible. And that is that island kitchen that you have, that countertop, by making that spectacular. Maybe it's the one in your bathroom. If you've gotten to the point in this market where you think, I'm not ready to sell, I'm not ready to buy, I think I want to see where the market goes before I make a decision, we're going to stay here for a while, upgrade that sweet house that you have right now by calling Mitch Floria at The Art of Granite. If you go to his warehouse, and when I say if you're in the market, don't just go to the website, which is an awesome place to start, artofgranite.com, theartofgranite.com, very, very easy. Go to his warehouse at the corner of 6th and about I-70. The Waze and Google folks can navigate you there, no problem. That's how I got there. You go inside and you see what this craftsman, this expert can do with granite, quartz, marble. I mean, and I'm talking man-made, nature-made substances. I've had friends of mine who listen to the show, and they just text me spontaneously when Mitch started advertising on the show saying, oh my gosh, we used Mitch. It was the best experience. And so if you're out there upgrading a home, maybe you're still in the fix and flip business, doesn't matter. Call Mitch Floria. If you mention KNUS, you receive a bathroom countertop for free. That's gratis. With the purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertop, or you get a kitchen or bathroom sink for free with the purchase of any countertop package. So call him, and this phone number I'm about to give you rings the phone on his, well, I would say on his hip, but that's so very 2000s, in his pocket. 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. Call Mitch Floria. Do your house a favor. Do yourself a favor. It's theartofgranite.com. That's theartofgranite.com. When we come back, we're going to continue to have a conversation. The texts, by the way, have been blowing up on this topic that we had about what to do with the information that existed before the mass murderer out in Highland Park was able to accumulate the 5 weapons that he had available to him. We'll talk with you more about that. If you had a phone call you were saving, now's the time to ring it up. 303-696-1971, 303-396-1971. My name's George Brockler. It's The George Show. You're listening to 710 KNUS. KNUS. It is that time of the show towards the end of the second hour when we get to be made smarter by our friends at Alpine Planning Group. To do that right now is our buddy Gabe. Gabe, how are you?
I don't know. That might be a false advertisement. I don't know if you're going to get smarter after this bit. George, how was your 4th of July, sir?
4th was good. It was interesting just because I got a chance to see Dad, which was great, and take the kids out there, and that was all that was fine. But the fireworks thing was different for us. Typically, every 4th of July, we have folks over to violate most of our fireworks laws in the cul-de-sac. Not so this year. It was much more subdued in that way, but we had a great view of the other fireworks. How about you? Do you keep all your fingers?
I do have them all. I do have them all, fortunately.
Did you get to light anything off, or are you past that now? Like, you just won't do it when you have your drink on, or what's the standard?
No. My lady actually asked me what I used to do, you know, growing up 4th of July, to my response was blow up stuff. That ship has sailed. You know, I won't admit to any illegal activity on the radio here, but
that's too bad.
Starting off relatively flat this morning, George. Currently, we have the Dow in the green, ever so slightly up 17. The NASDAQ, which was in the green, is now down about 32, and the S&P is down 3. So yesterday we saw actually this really big reversal. The S&P was down as much as 2% at one point, but rallied in the final few hours of trading into the green. And I know you and I have spoken about this the last few weeks. This is a common theme we've seen in the markets. You know, you start off in the green, end up down in the red, and vice versa. And so I think with a lot of our clients, they're like, okay, we understand things aren't good in the markets right now, but where do we go from here? And our answer to that is the best case and the worst case are very far from each other right now. So we're sort of, you know, in a holding pattern, trying to get information as it comes. The Fed minutes will be released today, as well as some other labor statistics. And then interestingly, I don't know if you've noticed, George, but, you know, we're going 21 days of gas prices actually going down in value, which is the longest streak since the start of the pandemic. So a lot of different things happening right now. I think it's important to prepare your portfolio for best case and also worst case. And so if you have some listeners that need some help doing that, finding what assets to be in, have them give Alpine Planning Group a call. Brian, Amy, myself, we're all ready to go.
Gabe, thoughts on why the gas prices are going down? Any speculation?
Well, I mean, you did see oil dip down below 100 a barrel. And I think, you know, from a high level, you do finally have people sort of, you know, curbing their consumption. But it also is sort of a sign that, you know, a potential recession is coming. Maybe oil futures, you know, the demand for it will be less down the road if we do dip into a recession. So that is one thing. But also, too, I think, you know, you're just starting to get consumers a little bit more savvy on how much they're filling up their cars, et cetera. In addition, George, though, but you see, like, you know, companies like Tesla and a lot of manufacturing companies cutting jobs. That's also going to send some ripples into the market for future demand.
Buddy, that's all good stuff. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call them at 303-843-0918. Call them today, 303-843-0918. Gabe, thanks so much.
Hey, cool, George.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Joan, we have about a whole minute. I can give you a minute, Joan. I'm sorry about that, but we're running up on the top of the hour, but you've been on hold, and I want to get to you before we have to cut away for a break, and then David and everybody else on hold will get to you then. What do you think, Joan?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
So I think that a CD7 race is extremely able to be won. They have picked the worst candidate ever. Brittany Patterson is the AOC of the West, and we can prove that by her voting record. She's married to a man who is with Progressive Now.
He was. He's not anymore. He's not with them anymore. Okay.
He's not.
No.
Now he's just a columnist for the Denver Post.
Not even that, really, because the Denver Post made an announcement that during this intense political season, they have put on hiatus all four of their political columnists, Doug Friedenash,
really?
Ian Silveri, Dick Wadhams, and me.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So you're out of a job?
No, no, not out of a job. On hiatus, because apparently the politics thing is so intense, we have to have other people talk about it. I don't know. So Ian's not talking about it. Hey, Joan, forgive me. I got to cut you loose, but I do appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. Listen, when we come back, I promise, David, if you stay on, we're going to get to you and everybody else at 303-696-1971. Joan's line is open. I want to talk to you about these gun laws. Is there any role for government to play? Could it have played in the Highland Park case? It's George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.